The United Nations took over the cash-strapped African Union peacekeeping mission in Darfur in December as a first step toward forming a 20,000-strong hybrid force. UN peacekeeping operations date back to 1948 and initially involved lightly armed forces tasked with border management or monitoring peace agreements between states. According to James Paul, executive director of the New York-based Global Policy Forum, which monitors policy-making at the United Nations, the end of the Cold War was a key juncture in the evolution of peacekeeping.
Suddenly, in this post-Cold War period, you had a very rapid rise in the number of peacekeeping operations, and that went up to a peak, particularly around Cambodia, but then the Balkans, and of course Somalia was in that period. Then there was some disillusionment with the way peacekeeping was working and a rethinking of peacekeeping.
Disillusionment by UN member states followed the failure of the 1990s mission in Somalia that most experts consider to be a turning point in peacekeeping operations. William Dirch, a senior associate at the Henry L. Stimson Center in Washington, warns that the Somalia experience could happen again.
The Somalia adventure in the early 1990s was simply launched prematurely as a kind of hybrid, as a follow-on to the U.S.-led coalition that simply did not stay long enough to pacify or stabilize the area before it handed over to an undermanned U.N. force. And that could happen again, and in Somalia.
By 2000, troop contributions from developed countries to peacekeeping operations declined and were replaced in large part by soldiers from developing nations. This has led some critics to accuse the UN of using soldiers from only poor countries for its peacekeeping operations. Proponents argue that some regions prefer local peacekeepers to foreign troops. But Jean-Marc Kouakou, head of the United Nations University in New York, says the UN takes whatever support it can get for peacekeeping operations.
Contributions of countries to UN operations is voluntary. In the 90s, the permanent members of the Security Council, specifically the US, the UK and France, were important contributors to the UN peace operations in terms of military and police personnel, and this contributions were weakened in the 2000s, but it's not something which was designed by the UN. In fact, very often, the UN regrets this state of affairs because developing countries often do not have the financial capacities, the logistic capacities to give strong support to UN peace operations.
About 40% of UN peacekeepers come from nations like India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, Jordan, and other countries that often lack the resources to support peacekeeping operations beyond troop participation. UN peacekeeping programs also operate worldwide with a budget of little more than $7 billion. That is why peacekeeping missions typically falter, says Beth Cole of the United States Institute of Peace.
Where we have gotten into trouble is where we put lightly armed peacekeepers in places where there's really little peace to keep. Little or no consent from key belligerents. In Afghanistan today, that's an example. Or in Darfur. Darfur is a perfect example of where we're sending UN peacekeepers in. They don't have the basic equipment they need in the midst of a raging conflict.
Some critics argue that nation-building missions and the war on terror have diverted financial and troop support from UN peacekeeping operations and replaced them with military force in situations where development would be a better solution. But James Paul of the Global Policy Forum says the UN is not to blame because it is often asked to tackle the toughest jobs.
The international community hands over the worst problems to the UN, and it's amazing how much success there has been, but these forces enable a situation perhaps to be addressed by negotiation, to have sometimes elections, sometimes forces within the country can make agreements, but it's not so much the fault of peacekeeping or the implementation of peacekeeping operations as the more general problem of applying military force and thinking that it is going to be in and of itself a solution, which it isn't.
Despite what some analysts consider a patchy record, most agree that UN peacekeepers have been very effective. William Dirch of the Henry L. Stimson Center says one has to look at the big picture.
The spectacular failures are easier to see. They tend to be in the 90s, and except for situations like East Timor, where there's a premature drawdown of a force. It's not the case that the entire model was wrong, but the international effort was not sufficiently sustained, and that's increasingly recognized by peacebuilding and state-building planners.
Despite its overall success, some analysts say the United Nations should stop experimenting with ad hoc approaches and hybrid forces and focus on restructuring peacekeeping programs in ways that are more likely to ensure their success. For Focus, I'm Ida.